Shalom, brethren. This is Brother James Veremu from Chitungwiza here in Zimbabwe. Precious brethren, receive my greetings. And I want to thank the Lord for his grace that is placed upon us to bring us into the light of his word and to fellowship in this word. For this is the will of God, that we abide in him. Even as the Lord said, abide in me and I'll abide in you. So we abide in him by the word, through the word, that we come into that oneness, and we worship God in the truthfulness of our hearts and singleness of our faith. I just want to share with you this morning, by the grace of God, something on the subject of hope. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, I just want to read something there. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. In verse 4, Paul emphasizes this, that there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. So we just want to speak on this word for hope. Let us look at ourselves as we are before God and in the Word of God. Here we've been called, as the scripture says, to one hope by one Lord, which will impart on us, or which will give us one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one God, and we are all brought into this one body. It shows here that we are being called into this one hope. But before we were called into this hope, it means we were somewhere else. We were not in this hope and in this state. We were not brethren. We were not one. We were not a body. We were separated. Even as Paul says, like sheep we were scattered. Each one had taken his own way. But we want just maybe to see our status and what we were before we came to this, where Paul is encouraging us to be in that one Spirit, to be in that one body, to be with that one Lord, to be of one God who is the Father of all, above all, and in all. What state we were in, then we can appreciate better what we are today if we can look back and see what we were before we were brought into this marvelous light. In the same book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, I just want to read verse maybe 11 and 12. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So here we are, we who were once outside, as the scripture says here, we are Gentiles in the flesh, and we were called the uncircumcision. And that, at that time, when we were in that state, we were without Christ, and we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. So, being that, we had no hope. There was nothing to hope for, because we were alienated from even the presence, the working, the being of God. We were outside. We were strangers. And this is what the scripture now is pointing us to. Now, in that state, we had no hope. Now, when you look at this word hope, it brings us to see that when you have hope, you have hope in something. And when you have hope in something, you work towards the accomplishment of that hope or what you desire to be. So, being without hope, one then is subjected to things that are not a reality. Because we shall see that later on, Paul in the book of Hebrews says, faith is the evidence of hope. So, if you have faith, in something that has been enlightened to you, and then it creates a hope in you. So here, we had no promise. We had no God. We had nothing of that light of God. And then that shows we were hopeless. Now, when being hopeless, you are, one is driven by any wind. Now, we are in the world. There are things that are a reality in this world. There is death. There is sickness. There is sorrow. All these things, they are part and parcel of life. So, they have an impact upon us, depending on our status, our standing. So, without hope, the winds of superstition, the winds of fear, the winds of sorrow, they are all against us. And we have nothing to stand on. We have nothing to, you know, to rebuff of all these things. So, being hopeless, it brings one under subjection to false sorrow, to false fear, to false a false life, an aimless life, a vagabond life. Because as a human being, We are created with this, that God, when he placed us on earth, when Adam was put on earth, he was put there to do something. He was told to till the ground. He was told to rule over the earth. He was told to multiply. He was told all these things. So it's not an aimless life that God put Adam in. So then, when sin came in, it blocked humanity from the real things that God had given to them. And then they then went on, say, to fulfill what God had given, but not in the way, not in the inspiration, not in the light of how God had given us. That's why still there is worship. People worship, but they worship wrongly. In the days of Noah, it says people were marrying and being given in marriage, but it was not in the right way, because man had deviated from the path of God. Why? Because he was no longer held by this hope to the end that he would bring forth what God desired in the first place. So we see here that hopelessness brings one under subjection or full sorrow. Fear of the unknown. Can you see? Now, just imagine somebody is afraid of what he does not know. Somebody is afraid of something that he does not understand. That's why in the book of Joshua, I think we can just read that. When Joshua crossed the land, the river, to go to the land, he spoke with the people of Israel, whom he had led across the Jordan. And I think it is in chapter 24 where Joshua narrates how God dealt with the fathers and even these people who had crossed the river. He says in Joshua chapter 24 verse 2, "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abram, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." So you see, beyond the river, they were there without God, without hope. And because of that, they were led into this situation whereby they served other gods. Why gods? Because of the fear, because of the hopelessness, they found themselves worshiping not one God, but gods. They had fear of death, they had fear of famine, they had fear of war, they had fear of sickness. So it made them now look or desire to have a God who would keep them from war, sickness, another God from famine, another God. So they had many gods like the Greeks had when Paul visited Athens. He saw many temples unto many gods. So it was because of the fear that was in them that caused them to worship other gods. So, without hope, there is that tendency, there is that people will be running away from something they don't know, something they can't see, something that they don't understand. So, being hopeless, it brings one into subjection of things that are not. So, that's the state we were in before the light of the word came to us. We indulged in all those things that we did because of that hopelessness. We desired joy, but we tried to find that joy in the wrong place. We wanted life. Like the prophet said one time, he saw these little girls. They were drinking whiskey and they thought they were happy. And then one of them just shouted, "Whoopee! This is life." With a bottle of whiskey, she thought that was life. But we know there is what is life. What God says is life. And we understand God is life. And without God, then we have no hope, yet we desire life, and then we get that life from another source. We want joy, and we try to get joy from a wrong source, because we have not that hope in God. That's what we were when we were in the world. That hopelessness led us into do all diverse sins. That hopelessness led us to be so divided. And I think this is where the devil got his stand, whereby people were divided, irrespective of that we came from one man, because of that hopelessness. We lived in the world of darkness. With that hopelessness, we had no place of God in our hearts. So, let's just look at this. You know, without hope, even when the real thing is placed before us, without hope, it won't help us. Maybe I can give an example of the people of Israel. As Paul puts it in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 4 of the book of Hebrews, Paul shows us, or the scripture shows us what it was to the people of Israel. That's Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 2 it says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." The people of Israel heard the word. Or maybe we can start from this one. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." So there is a promise. And the promise must change us, must make us live a life pertaining to that promise which is given us. So Israel, to them also the gospel was preached. It was the gospel of the promise made to Abraham, that his children will go into the land of Canaan. But These people, when they heard that gospel, we know gospel is good news. They heard the gospel, even as we also heard the gospel. But the gospel that was preached to them did not profit them because they lacked faith. And as I said, the same book of Hebrews tells us that faith is the evidence of hope, of the things that we hope for. So without hope, even good news can be given us. Without hope, the gospel can be preached. For Paul says in the book of Romans that through creation, God showed and he displayed all that he is, that no one should be blameless. Which means God shows forth his being, his love, his care. But when we are without hope, we cannot perceive, we cannot see, we cannot understand what God is showing us. So was it with Israel. They had no hope in them pertaining the gospel that they heard. So they were a hopeless people. And whatever wind came, it swayed them. The Moabites came, swayed them. The Amalekites came, swayed them. Problems came, swayed them. Because they had no hope. Because the gospel being preached to them was not anchored in them to the end that they would pursue the purpose of the gospel. So they had no hope. That's why Paul says, that's what we were, that's who we were. Back there, we were without God, we were without Christ, we were outside the promises, we were outside the covenant, we were outside the commonwealth. So in that state, we were taken by the things that were surrounding us, the fear of the things that were surrounding us, the fear of sadness, the fear of death, the fear of loneliness. All these things, they had an impact upon us. Then we would find false friendship, false joy, false worship. Everything was not correct and was not right. And then because of those forces, we were pushed into sin, trying to find satisfaction, trying to find joy. We were indulged then in the sins of the world. So this is the state of the soul that has no hope. And that's who we were. But we want to thank God that he has brought us into his marvelous light. But I just wanted to say, this is what we were before the light shined on us, that we should have the true hope and the foundation for our faith. May God bless you.